Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello, everybody. This is Debbie Guy Geish with the Pedowitz Group, and welcome to WRMR Revenue Marketer Radio. Today, we have an outstanding topic. It's called Educate, Inspire, and Deploy: Secrets to Global Marketing Transformation at GE Healthcare. And as you guys know, we meet about twice a month. We love to talk to real revenue marketers and learn their tips and tricks on how to make that transition from traditional marketing to revenue marketing. And again, you know, it's a real show. It's really based on folks who have already been on this journey, sharing with you what worked for them, what didn't work for them. And as we all know, you know, revenue marketing is nothing more than just being accountable for revenue. And for a lot of companies, that's a really, really big transition. Yet, if you take a look at the world of B2B marketing, everybody is feeling that pressure for accountability. And revenue marketing is just what I call the discipline of being able to achieve that level of financial accountability. So I'm so pleased to introduce today's guest. Today we have Stephanie Meyer, who is Head of Marketing Operations at GE Healthcare, and Milt Wong, who is the IT leader at GE Healthcare. So welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us, Debbie.
Thank you.
And you guys are calling in from beautiful Milwaukee, is that right?
We absolutely are, and you can say that still into October, so we're happy about that.
That's wonderful. Well, listen, again, I'm so excited to have you guys on the show because you've had an amazing 18-month journey. So why don't we begin, Stephanie and Milt, by telling us a little bit about your role in the company and what you two are accountable for.
Absolutely. So, yeah, head up marketing operations, and that really is about being responsible for the marketing function, people, process, and platform. So people and making sure that we have the right people in the right roles and trained and ready to do what we need them to do to deliver. Process is then make sure that they've got the right thinking around how they get the job done and how they need to work with the other functions or within our own function. And then, of course, I make the platform decisions that are about enabling better customer interactions. And Milt is a humongous ally of mine. So, Milt?
Sure. Great. Thanks, Steph. Milton Wong, or Milt, and I'm the IT leader for global marketing here at GE Healthcare. And what that means is that I'm responsible for supporting our centralized marketing functions for anything that ranges from our external web presences all the way to internal processes and platforms that then support marketing and sales as they interact with those customers. So Stephanie is one of those key internal business partners that I've aligned with over the last several years for an initiative like this.
Wonderful. And let me ask you guys, kind of what happened at GE Healthcare? I mean, how did this journey of, oh my goodness, we have to transform marketing, how did that begin?
Yeah, I think I can tell you from my perspective, we realized that the buyer's journey was changing. That, you know, you think you add that on top of the fact that the buyer is actually just a consumer and the consumers can go out and, you know, pick their own airline seats. They can do shop for cars, and all you need really the salesperson for is the transaction at the end of the deal. And I think that so much of that then is being translated into their jobs as healthcare providers and hospital administrators. So we realize you cannot separate the consumer angle from our buyers anymore, and that they're making up their minds far before that salesperson is walking in the door. And then I think, too, we just recognize that, you know, being relevant with our customer all along their journey was going to be something we need to get better at. And so for us, it was just time to start organizing that way around the customer.
Yep. I would just add to that a few notes that, you know, we're really part of a broader ecosystem as well, partnering with our commercial sales colleagues. So they were also in concert beginning a transformation of our sales, you know, processes and the sales CRM. And so then this marketing transformation or investment in marketing technology that depends on clearly aligned marketing processes was really just, you know, another part of this broader ecosystem that Stephanie and I are part of here at healthcare.
And I think, Debbie, you and I have talked a little bit about this, that, you know, establishing a manifesto didn't hurt, right? You know, we really had to get out there and say, and so I'm sure that a lot of the marketers out there are thinking right now, okay, well, how do I sell it to my CMO or to my CEO and make this investment decision to make marketing automation part of how we get the job done? You know, we thought about, well, do we do it because we've got metrics to show that, you know, marketing's value of contributing to the funnel is X, you know, and that maybe it's around demand generation. And we stepped back and none of these things were working. None of these were resonating. And I really stepped back and thought, you know, one of those shower thoughts and said, it's really about how we engage our customers differently. And so for us, we call it customer engagement automation, otherwise known as CEA, as opposed to demand generation. In fact, I've gone public, spoke at many, many conferences internally and externally that I've banned the use of demand gen at GE Healthcare. So, you know, having kind of a cool platform to stand on to get the job done, I think has helped us a lot as well.
I love that, Stephanie, and you know, me, you and Milt talked about that before. And what I like about that is that of all the companies that I've seen or worked with, when you think about the platform or kind of like the manifesto, that's really the top-level message that drives change. The one that I see day in and day out that's absolutely the most galvanizing is let's engage around how our customers change, because who can argue with that? Nobody.
Right.
So I love that. I love that. And then, so when you, I love also that you banned the expression demand generation. So when you banned that, what was the response to that?
It was really controversial. I didn't quite expect the same amount of backlash. But I think once you ask them to step out and really think about what it was they were doing, yes, they're driving, you know, opportunities into the funnel, and yes, it's still about all of those things. But what happens when the customer doesn't have money in the next 6 months or the next, you know, year? And do you want to nurture? Well, yeah, okay. And then you start thinking about where is most of our activity need to happen? Where do most of our customers sit in any given quarter? It's not in the I'm ready to purchase in the next 2 months. It's in the I'm experiencing your product, I'm potentially thinking about renewing in the next year, I'm going to get ready to ask for budget. You know, we're a long cycle business and you know, selling $1 million pieces of equipment. So it's something, if we're not there, all of our competitors are going to be there. So we need to be relevant in the meantime. So I'm not sure how you can not think about it in terms of engagement. Now, yes, of course, there's still the tip of the funnel stuff, which is how you generate demand. I get it. Okay, I'm not saying it's not about generating demand. I'm saying it's bigger than that.
I love that. Yep. I really do. And so, Milt, when you think about it from a technology and an infrastructure perspective, how does having a customer engagement automation focus help you think about the use of automation?
Yep. First comment I would say is sort of part and parcel with trying to ban the use of the word, you know, demand generation. We've also tried to stop, but it hasn't been completely successful, quite honestly, of having our marketers come to us and say, I want the tool, because now we have built a lot of excitement around the people, process, and platform improvements. So we do still get a lot of requests and email traffic just saying, how do I get access to Marketo? How do I get access to Salesforce? But this broader umbrella of customer engagement automation really helps us address that because, as an example, we're able to talk about integrated marketing and sales processes that span both Marketo and Salesforce here at GE Healthcare, not just one targeted tool and platform. It's helped us address customer journey mapping in a different context because, quite honestly, less than 10% of our marketers here will ever actually log in or access Marketo as our marketing automation platform, right? But they need to be aware of the processes it's enabling, aware of the activities and behaviors that it can help track, and then provide visibility directly to their marketing campaigns or provide visibility to their partners in sales. So that broader umbrella of really talking about it as customer engagement automation has really, you know, helped us address some of those inherent issues with this broad transformation.
I love that, and I think that makes so much sense. And, you know, I work with a lot of different companies, and they have very similar problems is, you know, lots of people want access to the tool. They think it's all about the tool, but it really isn't about the tool. It really is about how you as a company can really focus on that customer and think about that customer experience. So I really love that. So let me ask you guys this question. So I know that one of the hottest topics today that all these companies that we work with and see in the market, they want to talk about how does this get organized? So how did you guys organize around marketing transformation at GE Healthcare?
Yeah, so we have marketing operations in each of our regions because we decided to focus there because that's where the customer lives, right? They need to know and be air traffic control for their region, make sure that the customer isn't, you know, spammed, you know, by everyone trying to talk to Dr. Jones. So marketing operations was our initial target audience. The next target audience was really around the product, making sure that the product teams had great understanding of CEA so that they could develop great content and thinking around this new modern tool that we have that modernized our function, make sure that they were able to use it now differently and create different kinds of content. And then we had a small central team, so I report to Kareem Karti, who is our Chief Marketing Officer for GE Healthcare, and said, you know what, I need a small team of project owners, and one of those being Milt, who is to execute on the IT side. So we had a central team, we had region teams, and we had product teams, I think was the key to our organization.
Yep, and I'll just add a few comments here around something that I know Debbie, you've asked Stephanie Anna to comment on as well, is putting in place a really strong governance model, knowing, quite honestly, when to say yes to the regional deployments, when we knew, quite honestly, that some regions had so many other priorities, they were asking for the tool, they thought they were ready, knowing when to say no was sort of a 50,000-foot governance model. Then the choice that Stephanie alluded to of really handing the keys of the automation to regional super users has been a key enabler because it's driven that whole customer mentality. Regardless of what product we're going to market with, right, it may be the same customer persona, so then really giving the automation keys to the region owners has really forced a lot of interlocking behaviors and processes for us. So I think coming out of the gates with a global governance model and then really reflecting that in the regions, both from a process and tool perspective, was one of the keys to the organizational success.
So Milt, what kind of processes or best practices came through governance? Did you say, clearly you didn't say, here's Marketo, go knock yourself out, but you gave them some, what were some of the processes and some of the best practices that you gave people, and how do you ensure they're adhering to those standards that you set?
Yeah, I'm gonna let Milt tell you the real skinny, but I'll tell you what happened to a customer. We sat up, a fictitious customer, we said director of radiology, right? And that director of radiology would typically be, we would talk to them if you're an x-ray sales guy. You would talk to them if you're an MRI specialist. If you are a CT cell, you know, you've got that in your product line. And we wanted to see just what would happen. And we did, and we unfortunately sent this director of radiology, who was a fictitious customer in Salesforce.com, sent him an email, and we let it just happen organically. And the guy got, 17 emails in a course of 2 weeks from GE Healthcare. We looked ridiculous in his inbox, right? So I can only imagine how that would be to a real-life customer and how embarrassed we were. We used that as a catalyst to say, here's why we got to have these governance things in place. So at a very sort of superficial minimum baby step, we said no more than 2 emails go out a week to the same customer.
Right.
So, Milt, you add that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, to echo Stephanie's point, it's been a little bit of this internal storytelling, right? To some extent, you know, governance starts with sort of getting everyone to admit to the problem, right? And so I'd say then nobody could deny that we needed to put in place touch governance in the regional models where those customers sit. At a slightly broader level, Stephanie's team, along with the region counterparts, it typically started with region workshops or 2 to 3 day working sessions, and these sessions were a combination of marketing, sales, and IT, all sitting around, rallying around how could we do this type of transformation. So I'd say, you know, the classic sort of change management model of getting everybody on the same page regular operating mechanisms after that point, and then down to, you know, very detailed governance measures such as regional playbooks that then say, hey, in our region, unless we've got, you know, some specialized need that's coming from top down or a customer-driven need, right, that here are the governance rules that we're running by, here's the number of touches that can happen in a week based on persona, very detailed checklists and processes, right? So another example that we've implemented is just a very simple workflow capture that just captures the number of different touch points because it's all air traffic control and visibility. And so if a marketer knows that some other, you know, customer-facing campaign has already claimed that, you know, last spot to do an outbound tactic, then they can just plan differently and say, okay, I can plan my tactic for the next week, right? And so a lot of it is just driving visibility to data and information so that marketers can work broadly together.
So when you guys were kind of, you know, structuring how you know, working with the field or the regions, working with the product groups, and also, you know, working with Central. When you reflect on how that got structured, would you have done anything different?
Yeah. I guess just off a couple of comments from my perspective of the mill, you can say. One, I really think we have to think differently about who we are hiring going forward. I think, you know, when you make a transformation like this, you go with what you've got in place largely and get them to do the change management and think differently. I think we need more marketing ops thinkers out there who are both able to think strategically but are also good executioners. And I think we've hired for either or, depending on, you know, what the role is. I think the people that sit out in the regions in the ops roles need to be both strategic and operational. I would do that differently. I probably would shift a little bit of parallel emphasis on my product teams because I think that I really wish I would have had better content out of the gate. So now that we've got good process and good, you know, ability to contact customers and have the right types of connections, what I really underestimated was how far the product teams were behind in terms of thinking at value propositions at a customer level, at a person level, at a, you know, and thinking on terms of the movement of the type of content. We're really good, and we have been good for 150 years at selling product technology, and that means spec sheets, and everybody gets pretty much the same spec sheets. I now am in the industry where it's also about how do I feel about my piece of equipment, and how I feel as a radiologist may be different than how I feel as a chief of nursing or a CEO or a CFO of a hospital, and I need to understand that the buying has changed in a million-dollar decision in that it's usually by committee. So if I've only ever just blasted the same message to everybody, I'm only as good as that hope-for shotgun approach message is. So I that's probably my biggest regret, Debbie, is not focusing a little bit more on content excellence at the same time as process and platform.
Yep.
Okay.
I'll just add one more lesson learned, you know, from, again, it'll sound like a platform statement, but it really reflects back into the core processes. Anybody that's out there that is deploying this type of similar transformation around marketing technology will hopefully resonate with this. You know, there's sort of two big categories of this type of automation. There's sort of all the outbound customer touches, the classic email tactics that are being launched. Very different process thinking around that and the type of people that get involved with that are then different than what Stephanie commented on, sort of the marketing operations person that then swivels and partners with commercial sales operation for then where are we going to route the lead if all those customer touches then result in a qualified lead that we want to turn into an opportunity. So very different skill sets there, the people involved, the discussions that, of course, then we needed to initiate with our sales, CRM, Salesforce partners would have been very different. So just getting more education and awareness out there about sort of those two big categories of change that were coming, I think, would have been one of my lessons learned.
And I think that, but within that, I want to go back to the things that you guys did really well because, again, if, you know, your journey was 18 months, and if you just kind of step away and share with the audience kind of like in 18 months, what did you guys accomplish in 18 months? Just share that perspective because it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, so in the 18 months, I guess a couple jaw droppers would be we went from touching zero customers, or trackability of touching customers was zero, $0. We went in 18 months to, in 2014, we touched $2 billion worth of opportunities. So that's a pretty impressive number. $600 million of that ended up in wins, meaning actual revenue to the bottom line. So we are pretty proud of that sort of thing. That was probably the biggest financial win. I think the other thing that I just feel like is a big win in a massive company like GE, just changing the culture is extremely hard. So I am very proud every day that we now have people using CEA or customer engagement as a way to describe what we're doing, as opposed to thinking about them in very finite terms like demand generation. So I think that change has been good. I think when you hear the, CEO say things like, we're really thinking about the ways that we're engaging our customers differently, while it's not my specific talk track, I know I'm a part of that. So I go to bed every night feeling very proud of some of those things. And the fact that I've enabled 1,000 marketers in literally every part of the world, I think is also very jaw-dropping and lots of frequent flyer miles put on all of our backs in the last 18 months.
Yep. And I'll just compliment that by saying, having that strong governance model from the get-go, just to illustrate another story that really, we needed strong executive sponsorship from Stephanie and the cream up front to say, guys, because this isn't about the tool, with all due respect to those that want to have the RFPs talking about different marketing automation platforms, right, that the messaging was, guys, we're not going to do separate region RFPs or product RFPs to choose a different tool. We're going to all be on one, right, one global Marketo, one global Salesforce.com. And then the benefit of that is not only just the classic sort of platform simplification, but then we can all be speaking the same language and focus on our process improvements. So now we, foster best practice sharing region to region, product to region, and that's been a huge best practice, because then we're not spending our time, switching systems and switching processes as a result of those systems. It's really been focused on how do we get better in front of the customer.
I think you're absolutely so spot on that, Milt, is that, by having that one platform and everyone having the same language and the same processes and really sharing those best practices, it does come from very strong central governance. And that's something that we've seen, I think, probably in 2015. We're finally beginning to see larger companies understanding that this stuff just can't happen in an ad hoc manner. It cannot be a completely organic. It doesn't serve the customer. It doesn't serve the company. It doesn't serve the marketers, and it doesn't serve the shareholders. So I really, your approach to governance and the way you guys have structured things, I think is spot on. I think the other thing that you guys did really well, and I'd like you to talk for a few minutes about, is how you identified and evolved all of the key stakeholders in this adoption process. So you weren't just, sitting in your offices and having conversations with marketers. You were working with executives. You were working with the product teams. You were working with the sales team. So maybe you could talk a few moments about what kind of impact you think working, with all these different groups had on the overall adoption.
Yeah, that is probably where I've earned the most of my scars and gray hairs is that process. And, for us, it had to start at our chief marketing officer, right? I have to convince a hardcore sales guy, right? That's where he came from. That's his background. Had to convince him that this marketing investment was worthwhile. And what finally got to him, it was not contributing to the funnel, right? And it was not visibility for him because he's a good sales guy. Of course, he's going to know what's happening in his marketplace. And I can't deny that that's probably the case most of the time. It was really about being able to look at customers' behavior and understanding how certain indicators and movements might be a canary in the coal mine. It might be an opportunity to serve up a perfect piece of content. And I think it really resonated with him, and that's how we've sold it to that one enormous stakeholder and the chief marketing officer. I think the other stakeholders, and I'll let Mil take some of the sort of more tactical guys, but would be kind of the sales leadership in the regions. And I think that the key there was picking a couple that we knew were opinion leaders and thought leaders and people that could rally cry for us and make them heroes in their own markets and with their customers, and then give them their own sound bites so that they can go out and proselytize and say, here's my own experience. I was sitting in, preparing for a customer interaction. These kinds of stories came into us, Debbie, I was sitting there preparing for a customer interaction, kind of wasn't sure if he was interested in upgrading his equipment, but really didn't know where to kind of focus my day. So I went in with my normal pitch, went thinking about, okay, here's how I'll talk about GE Healthcare and all the great innovations coming out. What he found is that with our tool, he was able to understand that he'd actually been very, very interested and inquisitive on the ultrasound business, right, because of his web experiences, some of the conferences he went to, some of those kinds of things. So he was able to say, let's really focus that conversation there. So one of those sound bites from one big sales guy is going to carry a ton of weight out into the market. And I would say then from a marketer's perspective, same is true. They executed a campaign. One great sound bite was in China, which normally when you have a customer event, checking people in, because we invited 400-some people to this particular event, checking them in literally takes a couple hours, right, because they all come at the same time, they want to arrive and get their badge and all these kind of things. Sending them the QR code ahead of time as part of an email campaign and knowing who's coming, who's not, who's forwarded the invitation, we were able to do 400 people checking in for our customer event in China in 30 minutes. So just making that one marketer the hero, he's now, other marketers want to do exactly what he was able to do.
Yep.
I love the idea of making marketing heroes. That is how you inspire the marketers.
Yeah.
Yep. And Debbie, Milt? I'll just mention one other story, and I wanted to make sure I don't miss the opportunity to give a shout out to Andy Trevino, who's on our team, and it's illustrative in this case of the story. Andy is our lead marketing technologist, to sort of piggyback on, I know, that terminology that has really sort of evolved into this space over the last couple of years, right? And what we've been trying to do is evolve certain marketing operations or region marketing communications persons into regional versions and product versions of Andy, sort of building the capacity within the organization, right, and teaching the organization how to fish, right? We don't have this massive centralized team turning wrenches in Salesforce and Marketo. We've got a couple people led by Andy that are then effectively these hybrid technologists that understand marketing program design, and then, yes, how to then do the configuration and the tools. And so if you think about sort of the history of these types of programs, these used to be sort of the back office people, right, that understood the customer database and knew how to do queries and then would serve up a target list to a marketer, right? It's really bringing those people in our organization more to literally the front line and illustrating that customer data in today's marketplace is gold, right? And so I think identifying that type of skill set, a hybrid marketing technology person in each of the organizations has been a big key to the success.
Debbie, I have to laugh where I was talking with a bunch of other Marketo users, and I was thanking their president, their leadership team, for making marketing a cool place again. My 15-year-old son tells me every day that I'm not very cool, right, and I shouldn't do things like Snapchat and all that silly stuff, right? But I can come to work, and we are starting to attract these technologists to our function. you know, thinking about marketing being actually very digitally savvy. And I think it's an exciting place to be right now because of automation.
I think you're so right. I do a lot of travel. I do a lot of public speaking. I get to meet with a lot of marketers. And you're right, Stephanie and Milt, that's the one thing I tell them over and over. It is such a cool thing to be a marketer today. It is definitely cool again. It's just an exciting, exciting part of the business to be in. So, I could talk to you for like 5 hours. And, you know, at the Pedowitz Group, we were very, very happy to be part of your transformation. But to kind of close it out, I'd like to ask, what advice would you give to marketers that are just beginning a global transformation initiative? And I'd just like to have your thoughts on that. And Stephanie, from you, I would especially like, you know, what advice would you give to a marketing leader?
Yeah, from the marketing leader perspective, it's one of the points that Milt mentioned, which is, don't do analysis paralysis. Make the decision. Go global, right? And go big. Have really great messaging. Very easy to understand what it is we're doing, and don't lose sight of you know that mission. So I think consistency and a singular focus is really important. I think one thing that can be distracting would be how many amazing great things we can now do. We can now, you know, make bread, I'm sure, in the Marketo system if we wanted to, right? But let's focus, right, on what we're trying to deliver, which is really about better customer engagement.
Love that.
Yep.
Milt?
Yep, absolutely. You know, to echo some of those points, right, is knowing those big things that we wanted to say yes to around customer engagement, and then knowing the big no's that we were going to absolutely say no to. Again, right, another evaluation of another tool, you know, getting access to the tool without having region ownership, you know, just having a very clear set of those running rules and quite honestly not being, you know, hesitant to take some shots. We took a lot of shots, and there's still some shots being fired occasionally, but we are definitely still holding to those original global governance rules that we set because it's what made us successful.
That's wonderful. And again, I think that any marketer, especially any marketer working within a global arena right now, is just going to be able to learn so very, very much from this. It has been completely delightful, Stephanie and Milt, to talk to you guys today. Thank you again for being on the show. And for all of our listeners, stay tuned. We have a lot more good shows coming up between now and the end of the year. And as Stephanie and Milt mentioned before, guys, it's a really great day to be a revenue marketer. Thank you, Milt, and thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Thank you.